Hey.
But he's
should be waiting for that to get you out and turn the book of Galatians. Turn the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians, chapter 6. We begin to pray. Lord bless and lose with Brother Adam Calvin and preaching. Galatians, chapter 6. If you don't have peace with the Lord, you can't have peace. The Lord loves you and cares about you. He gives the very best you have that you might be saved and have life more abundantly. There's peace tonight, the Lord Jesus. If you don't have peace, you can have it. He cares about you. He loves you. Galatians chapter 6. Let's begin reading verse 7. The Bible says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we thank God. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, and I have the glory in your flesh. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Now to the text in verse 17. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Rather, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Brother Anton, if you will, lead us to a prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we
Mark. work for it, and I thought about it, what would I say? What example would I use for about a birth card? And the thought of the scripture came to my mind in Luke chapter 19 about a man named Zacchaeus. How he was a little man, a short man, a man that wasn't even thought upon to be anybody. First of all, he was a publican. That was a hated man of the Jews. He was a tax collector for the Roman government. One of the most hated people in the Bible was a publican. But the Bible said a man named Zacchaeus, who was chief of the publicans, was very rich. But the part I like, one day they came by a man named Jesus, stopped in a city named Jericho, where a little man named Zacchaeus been by. Zacchaeus didn't know that day that he'd meet somebody that was unusual. Zacchaeus didn't know that day that he'd meet the very incarnate Son of God that came from the glory world. He didn't realize when he left his tax collecting table that he'd never go back the same. But when he left my table that day, beloved, oh, looking at a seeking, but ain't you glad Luke 19:10 and saying, I came to seek and to save of that which was lost. And Zacchaeus didn't know he'd go home and wouldn't be in a robber to feed, but the Bible said the Lord Jesus came by. And Zacchaeus being short of stature, but for all the ministry the Lord prayed, that he might see the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said the Lord Jesus stopped at the foot of the sycamore tree and said, but Zacchaeus might faith and come down. Somebody said, what did that mean to him? I don't believe he hesitated. I don't believe he waited. But I believe he slid down the tree. And he sheeted down to the ground and met a man that he had never met before. He found out something that he had never known before. That day he met the Lord Jesus. Now the Bible said that the Lord asked and said, I will abide in my house today. And I want to show you about a birth part now. Can you see Zacchaeus? The people said he eat with prophets and sinners. But let me say tonight graciously that I'm glad the Lord, Brother Brandon, has eat with prophets and sinners. If he had to went home with Zacchaeus, he wouldn't have went home with me. I was in the same day that he is born. But the Lord said today, I will abide at your house. Now picture Zacchaeus in my mind with a birth mark in his life. Can you see him as he went through and told the Lord? He said, the Lord, everybody I stole from, I'll restore fourfold. He said, I'll give half of what I got to the poor. And the Bible said that the Lord said, salvation is come to your house today, Zacchaeus. But beloved, can you see Zacchaeus? His days go by. Will you take both up there, that sycamore tree, and say, right here, boy, it's where I met the Savior. Oh, right here where the birthmark was. He can take them there and say, right here where I received the birthmark. I'm glad that they make me a mental place in our hearts and in our lives. For the Lord saved us by his marvelous grace. I didn't deserve a birthmark no more than Zacchaeus did. But I'm glad in July 1974, God born me again in the family of God. For the body I didn't have nothing to offer it. And tonight I don't have much more. But I said, Lord, I'll give you all these temples, God. I'll do my best to serve you and praise you and preach for you. A birthmark tonight, beloved, we need desperately in our lives. But not only a birthmark, but I believe if we read about the marks of the Lord Jesus tonight, we'll have to have a knee mark on our lives. I believe there has to be a knee mark, beloved. I believe because we're birthed in prayer, the righteous man James said, but they didn't budge. A knee mark in our hearts and in our lives can't do something nothing else can do. A child stole away from our family on our knees before God. about praying. Jacob didn't have to think about praying. The Bible said he went and did it beforehand. 3 times a day. The Bible said he didn't even have to raise up his window. But his window was already raised. And he prayed in the always stand. The Bible said he bowed down his head. But lifted up his eyes towards Jerusalem. And prayed a fervent prayer to his master and king. Somebody said that there had been a poor time to pray. Beloved, that was the best time to pray. They were soon turning trials and tribulation. But Daniel knew they'd be trials. And Daniel knew they'd be tribulation. But Daniel not only prayed in Jerusalem, but Daniel prayed when he got to Babylon. But Daniel was a praying man. He said, even though we're in captivity, I'm still going to pray. For Nehemiah, beloved, the Bible said in the grievous time, they knew where it'd be. The men of the king came to where Daniel's room was. They looked in there, and there he was, just like they knew he'd be, on his face before God praying and asking God for his blessings. They went told the king about it. Said he's a praying man, yes, and there he is a praying. Said, now you sign the decree of the Medes and the Persians, and don't take your divisions away from it. He said, now what are you going to do, king? He said, bind him and bring him to me. And the Bible says they put him in a den of lions and sealed it with a stone and an insignia of the king. And there it was in a lion's den. Somebody said, what happened to him? Well, everything looked mighty bad where it was a prayer. Soldiers came and grabbed it. Didn't look like God nowhere inside. But beloved, God don't come to your knees. God don't come early. God don't come late. But God comes right on time. Oh, man, you might have forgot to pray. If God had showed up earlier, but God showed up right on time. The Bible said, the king said, Daniel, your God's able to deliver you. And sealed it with his insignia and rolled the stone in front of the den. But the Bible said, the king went to the palace and spent a sleepless night, fasting and singing God's praise. But while the sleepless night was going on up in the palace, there was a restful bliss over in the lion's den. Somebody said what happened. Well, here's my view of it. When they cast him in the den, he looked around. God, it wasn't nowhere there showed up yet. But as soon as he beat him amongst the lions, he looked to his right, and there he was, standing there, waiting on his servant Daniel. And the Hebrew children cast in the fire and burned. God wasn't nowhere around. When they bound them and gagged them and put them in the fire, but the minute they hit the fire and burned, the Bible said they had the Lord's prayer hit the fire and it looked like the Son of God. God comes right on time, beloved. That night, through a sleepless night in the palace, musicians couldn't play any music. No, over in the lion's den, Daniel grabbed up one of the old king lions in it. Said, roll up here under my feet. I'm going to lay down and take me now. Jesus said, rest, son. I'll be here now. I'll be here in the middle of the night. And I'll be here in the morning when they take me out of here. I'll leave your old lion lay down. And they had a good night's rest. And Daniel was rested. Come daylight, beloved. Somebody said, where's victory won at? Victory wasn't won in the lion's den, beloved. Victory won over there in his room when he bowed on his knees and getting that knee bar. That's where victory's won at. God ain't going to give us victory. If you want something from God, you honor it private and God deliver it publicly. But we've got to honor what we want in private in our prayer closet and seek God's face and ask him. And God said, whatsoever you ask, in God's name I will grant it. We have not because we ask not. Not only that, beloved, we need a birthmark and we need a name mark. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through verse 44. The Bible said, Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two bibles made of barley. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasure. For all they did cast into their abundance, but she overflowed did cast in all that she had, even all their living. Lift up the head of the giving, my beloved, if we will abound the marks of Jesus in our body. Somebody said, now he's fixing to put your money. Not altogether money, beloved. We need financial giving. But not only that, beloved, but we need giving of our time. The greatest gift you can give anybody is your time. You know that, beloved, you work 8, 10, 12 hours a day. You housewives work that long in the house. And then we do our best to have a night's rest between 6 and 8 and 10 hours. We get up, spend an hour eating, spend an hour eating again, and sometimes, if you're like me, you spend 2 or 3 more hours eating. But during the day, but beloved, let me tell you something. The greatest thing I can give to and listen to those children when they reach the age of accountability was give them my time that I love them. The greatest thing Bill Wilson ever gives to me on Sunday morning, he gives his time studying the Word of God up through the week and then teaches me the Bible. The greatest thing Charles ever comes and gives me on Sunday morning, he gives me his time. He dedicates his life. He prays and he studies. And what a great gift that is, beloved, for men and women that teach the Bible to give their time diligently searching the Scripture that he might be hungry children like me and you. If you want to please people today, the greatest thing we can give each other is our time. It takes the greatest effort in our lives to give our time one to another. The greatest thing Sister Wilson and Sister Robin and Miss Bailey gives us, they spend their time practicing and preparing music to bless our hearts. What a great treasure it is, beloved, that they take time out of their busy schedules and practice and rehearse their music, that it might be a blessing to the local church. That's a great gift, beloved. That takes time and effort. They didn't learn them songs by just getting up singing, but they practice and practice, and God blessed them for it. The greatest thing Charlotte Boyd gives our church is her time. She works diligently, preparing us to sing song after song after song. That takes effort to do that, beloved. And the greatest thing I could give you tonight was to give you my time and take effort by schedule and come and sit and work and pray and talk to you. God help us to have a giving mark of our time, one with another. Some exceptional. The widow wasn't looked upon as a great giver that day. She came in a very poor lady, the Bible said she was poor. Only had 2 little coins with her. The rich people came by and gave their goods. The Bible said they were giving according to their abundance. They wasn't giving like the little woman was. Somewhere she picked up her last check she ever had. Somewhere she picked up her last coin somebody gave her. And she took it out without caring and without regretting and without malice or jealousy in her heart. But she gave all she had. And on the way to the temple, she must have been feeling very joyous in the Lord. As she walked and said, Lord, I've got the 2 little pies, but I sure would like to donate it to the treasure house of the Lord. And there she was. A little did she know that the darling Son of God would be at the treasure. And that morning when she came by, and the Lord recognized her. Beloved, whatever we give honestly and cheerfully today, don't never doubt God ain't looking on. God knows what we give cheerfully. A man may not recognize your giving of your time, and giving of your tithes, and giving of your talents. Oh, but God knows what you give, beloved. And whatever you give, cheerfully, and God will bless you for it. And be pressed down and shaken together, and multiplied. The wind of the
you're not here tonight. And I want to say this brief word about him anyway. What a great gift she has for missionary minds. She loves her gift of missions. And every time you talk about her, it seems like she's got her mind on mission. She honestly supports our bus ministry. Monthly, her mission sister Vera and her class gives thankfully how to support our bus ministry. Somebody said it's not much, it is much. And they give it honestly, they give it humbly. Never ask anything out of return for it. Somebody said what they did for it. They got a 19-year-old boy saying something on it because they give and sponsor it. Somebody said, well, God bless you, yes, yes, 1,000 pounds, yes, God bless you. God help me to be more missionary minded. I mean, I want to support my pastor more than I ever have. I want to support my church more than I ever have. But then I want to give some offerings to other people besides just the church. I want to give offerings to missionaries that support him through other local churches and this local church. I want to help other people. I mean, I want some extra activity, don't you? I want some extra curriculum activities in my life. Not just over there, but I want to give and support other people that work for God. For now that we've got a great church, but we're not the only church. God's got many churches working and living for God. And God's got more people than any chapel. I know I'm not the only preacher, isn't it? And God's got many preachers working and living for God. Let's have a giving mark, beloved. And not only that, now we really sold out born again Christians have a mouth mark. Somebody said, what are you saying? The Bible said in the book of 1 Samuel, verse 1 through 12, and the old lady named Hannah came to a temple and prayed. All she wanted was a child. Her husband said, Hannah, hey, I've been good to you. I always give you more than I do my other wife. And she's born children, but I always favor you over. But the Bible said she went and wept bitterly at the steps of the temple. And her soul was poured out to God. And the Bible said that all she asked for was God to open up her womb and give her a man child. He said, Lord, if you'll do it, I'll lead him back to you all his days. And raise her, not touch his head. And the Bible said that the old priest Eli came by and said, woman, how long will you tarry at your wife and be a drunken woman? But Hannah lifted up her head and said, I'm not drunken, my Lord, but I'm a woman of pitiful spirit. Now I love to bear a man child. And she got out of the business with God. And the Bible said Eli marked her vow. There was something different about Hannah's vow. I mean, there's something different, beloved, about a Lord that gives children of God's mouth. I'm telling you, you're looking for the trustiest, revivalist man that ever walked the streets of a town. But for that, God saved me. He got the cusser and put it appraiser. I don't know how I done it, but Sister Fanny seemed like simultaneously. I love the desire to cuss and now the desire to praise it. Oh, glory to God, I'm telling you, I don't know how I done it, but if you stay around me, when I was lost and stay around me now, you'd say the boy's mouth is definitely marked. She had a marked mouth. She had marked her prayer and prayed for a child. Prayed for that boy child. Verse 19, you'll find where she's marked for praise. I ain't got time to cover all this. But she was a praise. And if you look at chapter 2, she begins her song of praise. A praise in God for answering a prayer. But then, beloved, if you'd have spent time with Sister Hannah, yearly she came back to the temple to offer sacrifice. The Bible said she made a little boy, Samuel, a baby of a colt, and brought him back to the temple. Now what does that mean to you? I'll tell you what it means to me. I believe in their vow, their proclamation about it. I believe to proclaim what God has done for. I believe all over that community she wove and spun and sewed that coat for the field. They say, we are making that coat for now. She'd say, I got a little more for me at the temple. And God, give it. Now I carry this little coat over here. They give my little boy. Oh, somebody might have said, Hannah, you talk crazy. But if you could have seen Samuel when he took that cup morning, April 1st came. You had decided you wouldn't pray today, but then decided to get your own up and been with God. I'm pinning it on the mark of our mouth. Our mouth's going to be marked for the glory of God. Bible says the man that will bridle his tongue, his religion is under God. If we can't bridle our mouth and our tongue, I know it's a battle. I have a battle with this one. And I know you have a battle with that one. It's a battle to keep our tongue bridled. It's a little member of a kid at the great fire. You can talk about a man that's gone more than 5 minutes, but it takes him a lifetime to build up. Oh, God forbid that we destroy each other's character. God forbid we have a mouth that was marred with prayer and praying and preaching and proclamation of what the Lord has done for me and you. A mouth that's marked, I won't go to you. And lastly, beloved, in closing tonight, the Bible said, the Bible said in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 14, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Last of all, there's a hallmark, beloved, for every one of us. Now tonight, when I used to race and I used to be in athletic competitions, they had some mark for us in the finish line. They say if you make it here first, you'll be the winner. And we strive diligently to make it to be first. And lots of times I wouldn't make it first, beloved. But the Lord Jesus, he just set the mark and the prize and said it's yonder. He said it may not be me. He said the last shall be first and the first shall be last. You may say I'm little in God's sight, but the psalm said little as much when God said it. Oh, don't you worry about how small your work is or how insignificant your work is. I'm glad in God's sight they don't allow to pick you. Oh, but we're all equal in God's sight. And once we're through the judgment seat of Christ, oh, we'll all be on level ground, beloved. Once the honeymoon starts, and once the marriage supper of the Lamb begun, it'll be a prize worth waiting for. Yonder around the key of glory. Somebody said, well, our works and service are rights and works in the millennium. I don't know, beloved. I don't know. But I do know this. He said, if I go away, I'll come again. He said that we are there you may be also. And he said that we know group of bodies in heaven. And he said that we know weary tired old soldiers on the streets of glory. Oh, beloved, of the Mount of Transfiguration, we see most of our lives fading with like old tired men. But the Bible said, Peter's angel God upon the building committee. Oh, Peter said, look, John, you can help Elijah the prophet. And he said, James, you can help Moses the legislator. Oh, Peter said, well, I'll just take Jesus and me. Oh, Peter's like me and you are a lot. But the voice spoke out of heaven and said, oh, this is my beloved son. In other words, the prophets done their job. The law's done their job. But beloved, now it's the grace of God. He said, hear ye him. I'm well pleased in him. Oh, that beloved voice speaks to us tonight and says there are hallmark after a while the children of God. It's about my soul. Paul said, I've had a mark for the Lord Jesus in my life. If you got a birthmark tonight, if you got a knee mark, you really got a given mark in your heart and life. Is our mouth mark? For folks to tell us a difference in our conversation. Last of all, if you got your eyes on the hallmark, beloved, someday after a while in the great seat of God,
It's about nostrils. How many say enough for the day? I need to have more marks like this in my life. Not really having never had a birthmark. Never been saved by the grace of God. I want you to pray for me. I hope if you just raise your hand to the back now. Anybody in the house? For the day I need a birthmark. Sister Taylor, if you will, come play me some song. I wonder tonight. I wonder tonight. Will you ready to sing an old hymn, Just As I Am? Anybody say, Brother Danny, never been saved by God's amazing grace. I want to be. Well, a birthmark is that gives me it. Or a place like the sycamore tree, I go back to and say, that's where it happened. I want you to pray for me. I want you to raise your hand back in, would you? Anywhere in the house, would you? I want you to say, Brother Danny, I've been saved by God's amazing grace, but I need a more of a deep heart like Daniel. I need more of a giving. I mean, totally from my heart. Maybe it's not no more. Maybe you're giving enough, beloved, but maybe you're giving from your heart, from your talents, and your talents. Maybe you say, Brother Danny, I really need a part in my life tonight. I want you to pray for me. I want you to just raise your hand and take it back there. God bless you. I want to place another one. I just raised your hand. Take it back now. I need more of a mouth, Mark. Talk too much, and I really ought to listen. God bless you. I want to be somebody else. I know God loves an honest heart. I'm going to be honest with you, but I'm not preaching this message to myself tonight. If it don't make me a better preacher, I ain't preaching my heart to you. Don't make me a better Sunday school student. Maybe I ought to make a better church member. Let it ought to make me a better evangelist. Preaching for God's word. Or to make me more mysterious than I have ever been. Or to make me more determined to have a hallmark that go by how I would say. How would somebody else raise your hand, second back down, second day, I know I need it. Need another mark in my life so I can find the marks God bless you, sisters. God bless you, sisters. Yes. These other yes. 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 One place of other yes. God bless you. Yes. Thank you, sisters. The others. God bless our soul, yes, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. You know, old Brother Manning had nothing to do with him no better than I. He come back Sunday morning, all of us got a bunch of new marks in our body. Come back in here and all of us will smile and say, we're all ready, Brother Manning. Just preachers that good old book. We're ready to go to work for you. I'm going to ask you tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a number that's Just As I Am. 119 in your small books. 119, Just As I Am, without one plea. I'm going to ask you tonight, beloved, to be honest. Be sincere. God spoke to you. I want you to move tonight. Get around this old-fashioned altar. Let's have some marks in our bodies. We stand to our feet and sing this hymn tonight. Just as I am without one plea, God spoke to you and showed you something through this. Don't rebel on it. Let's act upon it. Let's have a reaction tonight. Let's move to an old-fashioned altar and pray about it. The Bible thought, he said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but the world through him, not to be saved. Aren't you glad tonight? I'm glad it got all browbeat and condemned when Sister David was. I'd have been sad sick when I'd asked him, I come to the Lord. Sad, rejected by the world. The Lord not only condemned me and showed me I was lost, but very quickly the next breath, he gave me a remedy in a bottle of Gilead and said, listen, I came to speak peace to you, son. I've showed you where you're wrong. And tonight, the Lord, the book has showed you something. Now he says, come unto me. Oh, you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
No greater invitation has ever been given than the one the Lord Jesus gave. Many, many times, the Samaritan well on the Isle of the Gadarenes at the sycamore tree. Every invitation the Lord gave was blessed, wonderful, and sweet, courteous. He always spoke wonderful words of life when he called and wooed folks. Tonight he spoke to you. Now it's up to you what we can do with it. Come on, if we sing this last verse tonight. Just as I am, I will receive.
Thank you. and his Word of God. I'm glad my phone said that. I was troubling me for a long time when I was staying out of my phone number. I remember the time. Remember how I felt before. Remember how I felt that before. Remember how I felt about the church before. Remember how I felt that. Remember how I felt about the other people before. Remember how I felt that. Remember how I felt that. Remember how, 55 years old, let me tell you something. I don't think I have any more years on the church. I'm going to get my head up. I'm going to go back to the hill. Don't get up and die. I'll take my sister. Paul said, Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.